Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 548. Doing another podcast show at San Diego Comic-Con on July 26th, Saturday, 7:30 p.m. show at the Balboa Theater.
I know I'll be there.
Are you going
to
be there?
I'm actually down for Comic-Con. I've had a bit I wanted to pitch to you forever where I just sit at the edge of the stage with my notebook.
That would be fantastic. You should do that.
Oh, I'm
super
down.
Give people a chance to see you.
Oh, man.
Kyle Clark now appearing at the
Nerdist
Podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, dude, Matt and Joan are going to be so mad.
Oh, that's why I love it. Like, the show itself is irrelevant. It's just
why
making
is he
them
here?
Upset. I feed off the Joan Ray's and Matt Myra's anger.
That's phenomenal. I won't tell. I'm not going to tell.
Oh, God, yes.
Because they won't listen to the show.
Oh,
it'll
for
be,
sure
it'll
not.
It'll be a surprise. And if you're listening to this, don't tweet it.
Please.
At them.
Do not ruin
do
this for
not-
me.
Do not let them know. This has to be a surprise for them.
Oh.
Okay, good. Good, good. That's going to be a lot of fun. Also, I've joined the Oddball Comedy Festival, which starts August 8th in Tampa and then does a bunch of cities in August and September. But it is a big ticket comedy. It's like Louis C.K. and Sarah Silverman and Gaffigan.
It's got almost like a comedy
Aziz.
Relief kind of feel, where it's like the comedy event of the
yeah.
age.
And then there's, you know, I think I'm doing 15 of the 20 dates.
You excited to do that Red Rocks?
I am doing Red Rocks. Yeah,
that's that was, the raddest.
That was the first one of the, I mean, there were many reasons why I decided to do it. But as soon as I heard Red Rocks, I was like, I gotta do that one. As long, just I make sure I can get on the Red Rocks one. Because, you know, I went to high school for a couple years in Denver, and Red Rocks is Red Rocks.
You should then, like, sell it, package it like the Dave Matthews at Red Rocks album, just like whatever the length of your set is for that, and then just put it in front of Matt Myra.
Or I'll just do my jokes all as Dave Matthews.
Oh, that's even. Oh.
Was there going into hotels? Put your balls all over the wall now.
It turns out sharks have a thing called a cloaca.
Cloaca. And the fiddle comes in. This podcast is Super Ego. Now, Super Ego is a phenomenal podcast that started in 2006. It's Matt Gourley, Jeremy Carter, Mark McConville, and Paul F. Tompkins will be joining them today for an announcement. And also, there's going to be season 4 of Super Ego coming soon, which they will announce on the podcast as well. They will tell you what date that is. But really, really, just like nice guys who happen to be fucking hilarious.
That's the biggest thing. It's like I was a huge fan, and then we had Matt Gourley on Nerd Turns.
Yeah.
And finding out that he's also the nicest man in the world.
Yeah, and Gourley does James Bonding with Matt Myra,
mm-hmm.
the Matt and Matt show. So so here you go. Here's Nerds Podcast number 548 with Super Ego.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Super Ego Podcast. Everyone sound off quickly so everyone knows.
I'm Jeremy Carter.
Yes.
Paul F. Tompkins.
Mark McConville.
Welcome. So Paul has just recently joined. Well, you did Super Ego stuff for a while. So
I've recorded with them
A million times.
Countless.
1 million? Yeah.
One million.
I didn't realize. Wait, so if that's only a fraction, that means you must have done
3 million episodes?
Yeah, yeah. They have not even done a million episodes.
We've only put 51 out, but we're just banking them.
There's a backlog of edits.
They'll live long after we're all
gone.
We
want Wally to be able to listen to new Super Ego episodes.
Someone's got to occupy his time.
Or could someone at least dub in some Super Ego audio to Wally for when he's watching scene?
Will he get all the references? Will he be able to access some file to get all the references?
He's a robot, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but he's sort of a future robot.
Make his cockroach friend help him out.
Well, I can't make him do anything. I won't be here. I ruined the planet.
Oh, this is how this happened.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I wasn't going to.
You do it?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe he didn't find an iPod.
Not one.
That's how he should find out about what? Super Ego while he finds an iPod.
Was he watching right in the like resonant spot of this room, and your voice is just
and
sounding.
I sound like God.
Yeah.
is that how God sounds?
I am a god. Well, yes.
I don't want to.
If you're
weird.
A Catholic and you know it, clap your hands.
Could we all just stop and sing the verse of "What If God Was One of Us" by Joan Osborne?
What if God was one of us?
Doo, 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 doo.
Just a stranger.
No, you jumped ahead.
It's God's love.
I think what we've learned is that you are definitely not God, because God would not have fucked that up.
All right.
I am a
throughout this episode,
like one of you.
We will be revealed until there is one God left. Everybody else will show themselves false.
One true God. Yes.
I've just done it.
I did it too. I went straight to Stranger on the bus?
So yeah. I followed you, so what does that mean?
Uh-oh.
I think Chris and I went to slob. So you're suggesting we do Deity Survivor?
Yeah. Can we all vote each other off if we have equal powers?
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't know.
Isn't that a comic book? It should be. Or a movie.
I feel like that's probably
Disney on the phone.
Done at some point.
Probably.
In some comic
had to have been.
Tale of some kind.
Surely.
Yeah. You guys were podcasting before it was a hip thing to do.
So much
Super
so.
Super Ego goes back
to
2006, right?
That's right. Yeah, and so much so, I think that we felt like nobody's listening, so we can just do our own kind of thing and then didn't censor ourselves. And then people started listening, mostly thanks to this guy, Paul F. Tompkins. He's to my left.
Important detail.
If you were hearing the sound of that thumb being pointed.
This isn't stereo,
Paul's a deity.
Right?
He knows where it is.
But we should mention that this is the announcement we're making, that Paul's joining us full time. This is not public knowledge. We really did it.
It is sort of public knowledge, because a lot of people have noticed that the icon has changed in iTunes, I guess.
Yeah, that's a little treasure trail we've been.
And also, it's being listed as Paul F. Tompkins' Super Ego.
Yeah,
that was the other clue.
Well, Super Ego's just been dropped. It's just
completely. It's Paul F. Tompkins and gang.
Mistake.
The Paul F. Tompkins Country Bear Jamboree.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
Five, six, seven, eight.
What if God?
Someone has to hack. It'd be great to hack the Country Bear Jamboree show, and then I don't know, what would you put in it? What would you?
Joan Osborne. I think if we
learned, you think
they would
just be singing like weird '90s songs?
Do you know about?
Put like
guys...
a McLaughlin group in there. Just have these bears debating.
Or Melvin Bragg.
Hello, welcome to In Our Time with Melvin Bragg.
That was a podcast that Paul introduced me to.
Yeah, me too. Same here. Yeah.
And I introduced many people to it.
Why do we have it?
Yeah.
What's the point of it?
How could you listen to this for an hour? Oh my God, I can't stop listening. But I feel like I had the same. I think maybe we had similar experiences within our time, which was that it's so dense with information that it's not, you cannot passively listen to In Our Time.
No.
It is it's a lecture, basically. Yeah. It's a lecture series.
Yeah. You got to pay attention. You can't even like iron a shirt. I remember I was ironing and I was listening to In Our Time and I was like, I gotta stop, because I keep going back. Like, wait, why is this? What did she just say?
This was the episode about ironing shirts, too.
Yeah, which you think would be helpful.
Next time we tackle passive audio consumption.
It's not possible.
Is he still making them, or is it?
I don't know. I'm so backed up on those.
He made a million of them, and they're just letting them stack up.
So, wait, if you had to stop while you're ironing, can you listen to it while you drive?
No.
Do you have to pull over?
No.
Really?
You can't because
Jeremy, I don't know why you're shouting.
Jeremy, why would you think that driving would be something that demands less of your time?
By the tone of your voice, I am.
It is aggressive
right
in here, but I do agree.
Idiot.
I do agree with Paul. I don't know how could you, but you can't because it's so scholarly, and there's a panel of there's a pantheon of genii who do nothing but the thing they're talking about.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's okay, dense.
Listen
to the Norman invasion. Or I don't know.
I will.
Sarcasm was one.
Yeah. Was it really?
Really?
Yeah.
Welcome to In Our Time, I guess. That was sarcasm. you never know.
Oh, you know what? Hold on a second. I think I'm wrong, and I think it was cynicism.
Oh, okay. All right. Not sarcasm.
But if he did cynicism, there's probably one in your backlog of sarcasm.
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
Distant relatives.
I mean, he covered anything that's ever existed in the history of man. So any concept, any physical thing, an act, a treaty, anything that has existed since man is covered in the podcast. This is a wide berth of topicality.
Those concept ones are the real mind blowers, that it's just the idea. It's just ideas. Like, it's one thing when they talk about a historical event, but then when they're just talking about these sort of things that we live with every day, like friendship or something like that.
Hope.
Everything he's doing should go on a Carl Sagan gold record. It's not really meant for us. It's like for an alien civilization
it's
to learn Wally about us.
Yeah. To understand. Yeah, it's like, but won't be able to process because he's a robot. Some of the concepts he's not going to be able to grasp.
And he's watching VHSs of Gigi or whatever. What was the movie he was watching in that?
Was not...
It wasn't Geely with Jennifer.
He was watching Geely.
Yeah,
he
was.
Yeah. It's not Hello
because
Dolly?
You would think there would be so many other, so many available copies of Geely.
Yeah.
That no one bought.
Well, that's what littered the planet. Yeah. That the planet was just like, enough. Why did we keep making these? And then completely littered. Completely littered.
But he looks good in the Batman suit and in Geely.
I think the matchups.
He looks good.
I'm not against the idea of him as a Batman. Mm-hmm. I mean, depending on the.
Just to be clear, Batman's still a fake person that never existed, right?
I don't know.
No, you didn't hear the news?
I don't.
We got us a Batman.
They made him real.
Did he Purple Rose of Cairo into existence?
Yep. That's a verb now.
All right. Geely, Purple Rose of Cairo.
He stepped off the screen to fuck Mia Farrow.
What if the character...
But we're Mia Farrow now.
Wait, I heard that as...
Geely came to life.
Like, he's going to fuck me a Pharaoh.
Like, he's going to bake you a cake, he's going to fuck you a Pharaoh.
I heard like Chris is at this point a pharaoh.
So he would have to step out of a pictogram.
Fuck me a pharaoh.
Yeah. Fuck me a pharaoh tonight.
Guys, I almost feel as if we've gotten off track.
What
track?
Do people know what superego is?
I don't. I would imagine. I assume most people know what superego is, but it's essential. Well, if you can describe it, or I will attempt.
Would you
to describe
explain it to me?
Sure. It's just an improvised character-based audio sketch podcast that then we record really loosely and then tighten it all up in post-production, and we have guests on, and it's all presented in this sort of psychological doctor study format, but very loosely. And we're just about – this is another announcement. We're going to start a fourth little season, for lack of a better term,
nice.
Coming out September 1st.
Fantastic. It's a great – first of all, it's a beautifully produced show.
Thank you.
And the thing that I think is great about it for an audio podcast is the shows are only about 30, 35 minutes long, but it's – the sketches are 2 to 4 minutes. So you really just bounce around. So there's never – the show doesn't lag at all.
We're afraid to give you – too much to you.
No, it's true. We're true. It wouldn't survive, I don't think, if it was longer than
it's
it is.
True.
It's
too
be
frenetic.
About 25 to 35 minutes. Otherwise...
Yeah, we've come to shit on our own podcast. Yeah.
Long-form sketch is sketchy.
Yeah.
Long-form sketch is a
kidding.
Dicey prospect because it's difficult to write endings to things and then arcs, and then you have to... And at a certain point... It's sort of like, if someone kind of gets what the game of the sketch is, and they're like, okay, I got it, and they just want to spit it out like a piece of gum. So it's nice. The show moves really, really, really fast.
Yeah, because long-form sketch is essentially you're better off writing a play.
Right,
anyway, it's like, here's a series of one acts, which Season 5.
One X. But all Christopher Durang.
Everyone gets 90 minutes apiece to tell your story.
Fringe Festival, the podcast.
Oh, God. That sounds brutal. Oh, man. Yeah. That sounds brutal.
Just those two terms together.
But we started, we animated, well, we produced the animation for a handful of them for Nerdist Channel, and the company that animated those, they are gorgeous.
Company, it's really...
It's one guy.
It's two guys, essentially, but one guy doing all the animation. He's amazing. Yeah. Mark Miller and Brandon Malberg. Brandon did the animations. Those guys have been amazing. So what you guys were allowed us to do with that was fantastic.
Yeah. The H.R. Giger episode was... We had planned on releasing that for months, and then he died.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And so
via falling downstairs.
Oh, man. So
it the same day?
It was very close.
It was supposed to be. It literally was. I mean, it was like death roulette. Like the chip was on the day, and the day the number came up, and I think we pushed it by a week, but. That was the one that was ready, so we put it out a week later and just crossed our fingers like, please don't think we're trying to capitalize on the... And then, you know, a handful of people were like, how dare you?
But if ever there was someone you could tiptoe up to the edge of death with.
Right.
Also, the guy that invented the original G.I. Joe died the week we put out the G.I. Joe one. And that didn't catch anybody's
the
radar.
Super ego curse.
I know.
It's like the Poltergeist movie curse.
Well, then, okay, now if we're on our death squad, here we go. We did show in Vancouver. Uh-huh. And we did the...
There's a video we have.
A video we
on
have.
A live show.
That we showed, and it was this video had been done 3 months before we did the show, 4 months, and that week, I guess, Whitney Houston had died.
Oh,
but at the end of the video,
not the real person.
It goes from I don't know. It goes to it's her just, face,
like an otherworldly,
and then
Whitney
her eyes Houston. Light up, and then it fades out on her face, but just the eyes get. And so Paul graciously went out and went, look.
Some things you're going to have to know.
There is something highly topical
it's
at this moment.
Like the part of so-and-so will be played by so-and-so.
The part of Whitney Houston will now be played by Whitney Houston's ghost.
But it got such a huge reaction because we didn't say what it was.
Right.
We said, you're going to see something at the end of one of these videos.
We didn't.
You'll know it when you see it.
We didn't mean it.
Yeah. This was made months and months ago.
We don't have anything else to put in this slot.
That's the only way you can get out of that, though.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You got out of it beautifully.
But it got such a huge reaction when people were like, oh, this is definitely the thing.
Yeah, and it wasn't a good or a bad reaction. It was just pure, like, recognition.
Yeah. Oh, you should have come out and gone, that wasn't it. That wasn't the thing.
What's with you guys? Yeah.
Oh, God.
So how many times did you guys do live versions of the show?
We used to do it monthly at UCB, and then we've basically taken a break from that, and then we tour with it maybe once a month on average.
We've done San Francisco Sketch Fest, and like I said, Vancouver. We just got back from beautiful South Carolina.
That's right.
Nice.
And Sullivan's Island. We were there in Charlotte. Yeah. That was pretty great.
It is not Charlotte.
It's Charleston.
What?
We were in Charleston that whole week.
You thought Charlotte was Charleston or the reverse of what I said?
I was in beautiful Charleston. Charlotte.
No, you just said that. No, you don't even. You can't
this
even,
is why.
You need a breadcrumb trail for your lives.
This is why it's a kind of a frenetic podcast because I can't keep track
Let's
of
just put it this way. Mark and I handle the technical details.
Yeah. Yes. Otherwise, it would be like, this is hooked up like a Ford LTD.
How do you... So when you're... When you're...
See?
You
see
know.
What I mean? See what I mean?
When you're case in point. when you're building the show, how long do you kind of riff around? Is it sort of like, okay, I think we got it, and then chop, 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 chop?
Well, yeah. I think each session's probably 2-3 hours, and we'll do maybe four or five. We'll try stuff, and we know pretty much 5-10 minutes in, like, this is going to work, or maybe not.
And for that last season, we were running too long, and it was too hard to edit, so this time we've been kind of setting like a 10-minute timer. And we got to wrap it up around 10 minutes because they've just been getting too
Yeah, Matt edits all of it, and it's like, you know, what was the longest I think we had was about 42 minutes, where he's just listening to all this raw riffing.
To get 4 minutes out to of get, 42 yeah, minutes. Yeah. Is,
he's deep in the mine with that.
Well,
so.
Our Nico Case is on our first episode
she's
coming out.
So fucking funny.
She's hilarious.
Really?
And, her sketch, she sings with Jeremy's Shunt McGuppin character, and we retrofitted a full country band to their improvised a cappella stuff, and that's the most work we've ever put into
a
sketch.
Yeah, that was a lot of work.
Like Pedal Steel, live Pedal Steel, Mark played, and we went, you know, you got Nico Case, let's make it
You play Pedal Steel?
I do, yeah.
He does.
That's a fucking hard instrument to play.
Yeah, I will be learning how to play it for the rest of my life. It's it's crazy. It's a math problem and a loom that makes music.
Churchill?
I believe that was Mr. Churchill that said that. Yeah.
The pedal steel mad problem from a loom. But in the morning, you will still be ugly.
Wrapped up.
It's
a tile puzzle wrapped up in a where in the world is Carmen Sandiego in a Connect Four.
The riffing is... what I love about it is it's a double-edged sword because one of the reasons things can go on so long is that you don't have the pressure of a live audience where when we've done this live, it sort of works out because it has to. So the sketches, the sketch lengths sort of, they work out. You find an out because everything's heightened and it's like there's people looking at you, so it's like this has to have a bunch of satisfying laughs and then it has to end in a as close to a satisfactory way as possible. But then when you're without that audience, you can go on for forever, but there is a thing that sort of takes over where it's like, okay, I think that's in there. Let's just get a button on this, and then you can throw out a bunch of lines to kind of end the bit.
It sounds like the difference between going shopping when you're hungry but you don't know what you want versus I'm going to get cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know, especially with the audience, you probably get 2 or 3 minutes in and you're like, all right, now we just need a blackout joke.
Yeah.
End the scene.
Yeah. You start shopping not knowing what you're looking for, and then by the end you know exactly what you're looking for, and then you go get it. Right? Did I do that?
Yeah,
Mark does most of the technical work.
It's like shopping for a Ford LTD.
Okay.
So what are the plans ultimately to take the show? I personally think it's a, especially with the animated version, I think it's a TV show. I really do. I really think
your
it's a
mouth
TV show.
To God South.
Thank you.
The devil.
It is God South.
God South.
I'm God South. Devil. I'm South God. They've dived up like they're trying to divide up California.
We pitched it around a couple. Was that 2 years ago now?
Two or something three?
Like almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Three, and it was tough because we pitched it as a sketch show, and everyone we went to said, "Oh, that sounds great. We're just looking to do narrative shows." And it's like that would have been key information to have before the meeting was set.
Well, I love when I started to say I love it. I wasn't being sarcastic. That we'll save that for the Melvin Bragg podcast. Sarcasm. I hate when you're pitching, and then as I remember, I pitched a show once to a network a couple like maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, and they listen to the whole pitch and they go, "We're not doing any shows indoors. We're doing all outdoor programming now."
What?
I was like, "Well, you're fucking dumb. Because why wouldn't you at least consider the possible? What if there's a really great? I'm not saying mine's it." But what if there's a really great...
What a weird classification.
No, but you were pitching to the Home and Garden Network.
I was pitching to the Outdoor Network.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to bring him indoors.
And my show is called Shut In.
It's all about a guy who's... He's photosensitive. He can't, can't go out in the light. Kills him. Like the kids from The Others. Thank God they turned out to be dead already.
He's a Morlock.
So that they could be in the light.
Ooh, did they die from that disease, though? Did they die from their light sensitivity?
She killed them.
Why did she kill them?
Because her husband died in battle, and she went crazy, and so she went mad with grief and killed herself and killed the kids.
Rude.
Which
spoiler alert?
The Others.
It was the second movie that was, and it only took two movies to destroy the mechanism of, oh no, you're the ghost.
Right.
Like it took two movies. Sixth Sense, The Others, and then No Mas.
Yeah.
Like, that was it.
Yeah.
Like no one else could pull that shit off again.
I haven't seen The Others, but that sounds like a de-eroticized Flowers in the Attic or something, is it?
Which is highly eroticized.
Is it?
Oh.
Are you kidding? Movie. Victorian children? You really ought to check it out.
Come on. Come on.
All right.
No, Nicole Kidman. She's in a big giant house.
But is it erotic?
No, it's not erotic.
No, not at all.
No. Damn.
It's all just a...
Define just erotic.
Little ghost children?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Very erotic. Very erotic.
Who are no longer sensitive to light. This is what happens. It's still worth watching, even though that I just completely destroyed twist of the movie is.
I've had that one and No Way Out with Kevin Costner always get spoiled to me on like a yearly basis.
Have you still not seen No Way Out?
Never have, but I know the ending.
You're spoiled on a yearly basis.
Yeah.
Is that the one with Gene Simmons?
What? No.
Oh boy.
Where did that?
Oh boy.
What was that?
Ford LTD.
What was the one with Gene Simmons and.
Never Too Young to Die?
Never Too Young to Die. I know.
Kiss Me
that
the Phantom
one.
Of the Park?
Pygmalion 1986. I was. No. It was.
Runaway.
Runaway. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What was Runaway?
Terrible.
Was it a sort of sci-fi thing? Or
yeah, it
like
tried
it
to be.
Robotic to be. Stuff
like nanobugs or robotic bugs.
Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck. That's right.
Rachel Ward. Oh.
Maybe now
Rachel
you're
Ward.
Reaching beyond
somebody
my.
Like
now you've
bag
just eroticized the film for me. I'm gonna watch it.
Runaway.
She's a whiskey voiced charmer.
I think they should do a sequel to Against All Odds with Rachel Ward and Jeff Bridges now.
I think that would. I bet you that'd still be highly erotic.
I need
erotic.
To see that. Yeah. I never saw that.
And call
movie.
It "I Like Them On."
And it's a comedy.
Yeah, yeah. And same character.
They're trying to game. Right. They're trying to game the horse race system.
God,
that to me is a sold in the room pitch.
We're only making indoor films, though. So you
set it indoors.
Can't do it at a horse track.
Okay, it's a comedy in the future, and what they've done is they've put horse races in domes.
We're back in.
But okay, no, but the dome is completely transparent. Does that still count?
We're out.
Damn it! I'm sorry. I should have waited till we signed the deal before.
Where do you fall on Biodome?
The movie?
Yeah.
Ooh. I've never seen it, so please don't spoil it for me.
Well, it turns out it's dumb.
Stephen Baldwin and Charlie Shore are two unlikely fellas who get trapped in a biodome.
Oh, that's right.
For a while.
And that one came out at the same time that Brendan Fraser did...
Encino Man?
Encino Man. So I would get them confused because I think I saw them both at about the same time.
Yeah.
You know, they're two totally different scientific principles. One is about a living ecosystem in a dome, and the other one is about a guy who's unfrozen, and he was a
both fish
person.
Out of water.
Yeah, exactly.
Both
that's
fish
two.
Out of water.
Okay, I'll give you that.
And they all kind of looked kind of
but only one
grungy.
Of them had Stephen Baldwin. Only
that's
one of
true.
Them had Stephen
that's
Baldwin
true.
In it.
Yeah.
Wait, so it was Brendan Fraser, Stephen, Pauly Shore, and who was the second? Who was like Pauly Shore's friend in Encino Man?
Oh.
What?
Sean Astin.
Sean
really?
Astin.
Oh, wow, really?
How did you know who it was but fuck up his name?
That's the mystery of the dance.
That was the strangest pull.
The mystery of the dance. Because I'm also thinking this is Airheads era, right? With
yeah. It was a little bit of Airheads was a little bit later. Airheads actually did that
more. Airheads, a serious film.
Yeah. What, seriously?
Well, I mean, compared to those, I guess.
I still have my For Your Consideration copy of Airheads.
Yeah, Airheads is like Dog Day Afternoon to those films.
The director's cut of Airheads is so... I got it on Criterion on LaserDisc.
Steve Buscemi wants to become a woman. It's very hard-hitting.
No, that... Wait. Was that movie?
Which?
No, in Dog Day Afternoon.
Runaway?
Oh, no, because there's a movie where... Oh, no. Now you've got me confused with... Billy Madison.
Oh yeah,
where Steve Buscemi is he's dressed like in
yes, and he's like a sniper.
He's in pantyhose or something, and then Billy Madison calls him and is like, "Hey, I'm sorry, I was a dick to you." And then he crosses his name off the kill list.
Oh,
so I just crossed.
But
I just crossed.
Steve Buscemi was in Airheads, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the September 1st, Super Ego. It's happening.
Is it? You're posting it that day?
That's when the first episode will come out, and then they'll be not exactly monthly, just a lot of work. So I guess they'll come when they
when
come.
When it's ready, it's ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also have something we call second opinions.
Oh, unused sketches.
So we have some sketches. We had a surplus of sketches from season 3 that never kind of saw the light of day.
About a million, right?
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah. Literally.
So we took 12 of the best of those and put them on this thing. And we talked about sort of like why maybe they didn't make the cut, why, you know, some of them just don't work. But we thought, like, it'd be cool to kind of see how we do this and the process of improvising these sketches and then cutting them down and maybe why they don't work. And we just have a real gas.
And then we got some live action videos coming out. It's just going to be a month of splendor from August 1st to September 1st.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
The gift that keeps on giving to Wally in the future.
I love how all of this ruckus is going on, and that dog is like,
I've heard it.
Katie's dog, Scout, has been at a ton of podcasts and is, you would never know.
How old is Scout, Katie?
Two.
Wow. Wow. What? How is it possible?
That's what I'm saying.
In dog years.
Oh, interesting.
What, do you just hang out by you, you mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, and right.
While the homeless people are podcasting.
Oh, now you're talking. Now you're talking. It's bound to happen.
Yeah.
Because everybody else has a podcast except homeless people.
Well,
so
they might. You know,
it's coming.
Know.
Yeah.
No, I think that... hang on, I misspelled something in the feed.
Oh, homeless Dan.
How you doing?
So, Dan, what...
Chris, it's nice to see. Are you going to finish that water?
I wasn't planning on it. Do you want it?
Yeah.
It's not even mine. It was just here when I got here.
No, it's fine. I'm not going to drink it. I need to wash.
What series of events led to get you here?
Well, I was just picking through the garbage, and I thought I'd come in. Something smelled good. And there was some
I don't mean coming, this particular moment.
Coming down and out in Beverly Hills. You're like verging. You're verging on an altar.
Does that feel hold up? I feel like maybe it holds up.
I have not seen it since it was new.
I haven't seen it ever. I was in the goddamn thing.
There are two movies which I remember as being wonderful, and I don't know if they hold up. Down and Out in Beverly Hills and Ruthless People. Like two of these big
people,
budget,
people, me too.
Like multi-character comedies. These giant, it was post Beverly Hills Cop era where they're like, we could spend like $50 or $100 million on it. What, I mean, in that day.
Yeah.
On a comedy, like the blockbuster comedy film.
Yeah, the action comedy.
Yeah.
What was Ruthless People again? It was
Ruthless People was Bill Pullman and Helen Slater and
Helen Slater
and
the funniest woman in the world,
Bette Midler,
and
Danny DeVito.
Right, yeah,
and they were basically there was just a lot of heist crossing.
Yeah, conning each other, right?
And,
was that
Judge Reinhold?
The one where Bette Midler gets kidnapped and then
he
Danny DeVito is like keeper or whatever. It's based on the Ransom of Red Chief, I believe, right?
Okay. Oh. Yes.
Yes. it's been remade a number of times under different names.
Fargo.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
The Empire Strikes Back.
But not the original, the re-release.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
with Bette Midler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Who was comped in.
Oh, yeah. It bugged me the way she was floating around.
Yeah, I mean,
just
I didn't feel like
technology.
Her scale next to Han was quite right, but
It wasn't.
At least we got her in there.
Yeah, and she was shiny.
Weird career Bill Pullman has had that people forget that he's done a lot of comedies.
Yeah. He's fucking fun. He's funny. Like, yeah, he's really, really funny in Ruthless People.
Yeah.
My girlfriend thinks I look like Bill Pullman.
I mean, there's a little pull.
Why are you so down, buddy?
Well, he's just really right down the middle, isn't he?
That has always been my opinion. Yeah. He's tepid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's terrific.
Oh, I like him. I have to. You know?
I don't know if that means you have to like him.
Else what do I think about myself?
Oh, well, I don't like a lot of the people that people tell me I look like.
Who do you get?
Oh, I'm not going to say.
Okay. By the way, don't ever tell anyone they look like someone.
Never, never, never.
Never tell someone they look like someone.
I will say, according to Twitter, I look like anyone and anything that has a mustache.
Oh,
people who send me pictures of inanimate objects that just have like a mustache.
Mr.
Like,
Pringles?
This is you. Oh, if only. Not that I haven't gotten Mr. Pringles. But like, I don't know, just like things that sort of vaguely look like a rock formation that's like, this looks like you. See how this rock has a mustache?
Some people's brains only see, like, they just zoom in on one thing.
It was a year before I didn't know you were Gene Shalit.
Can I tell you something weird?
Yeah.
I am Gene Shalit.
What?
Well, vindicated.
Double dipping.
Vindicated. All right.
So how many episodes do you guys, how many episodes constitutes the next season?
Oh, boy.
Well, we typically do.
This is a source of God some discussion.
Uh-oh, guys. I just need to bring up the
thing. In the past, we've done 15 new episodes and then maybe a couple of like.
The greatest hits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this one will probably be a bit shorter, though. We'll see. We'll see what we can do.
We do have a lot sort of stacked up, ready to go.
Yeah.
We're excited to get that stuff out into the world.
And around episode 9 is where I start to feel my palm on my forehead and go, I'm real dried up. I don't know what else to think of.
I'm out of voices and characters, motivation.
We started with about numerous characters each, and we're all down to about 2 to 3 now.
Yeah.
They've all
I do 2 or 3 voices.
Yeah. Well, you got a homeless Dan.
Yeah.
I got a homeless Dan.
Brand new. Yeah.
Totally brand new.
Bring him back home with you. We all have an old man. We all have a confused lady.
That's right.
We all have.
Wait, everyone. First, I want to hear the old man, and then I want to hear the confused ladies.
All right. I have 2 old men. One is, hi, and the other is, hey, how's it going? All right? That's more middle-aged man.
Yeah. That's more Dick Winters from
Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers.
Oh, yeah. The real guy.
The real guy.
Yeah, in the interviews in the beginning. Yeah.
No, it's the I would love it if he was the only 80-year-old and the rest of them were young.
No, but I'm saying not to be confused with Damian Lewis playing.
Yes, right.
Yes. Okay?
So wait till you hear look.
Does that satisfy
look,
you,
we've
Jeremy?
We've confirmed I'm a stupid idiot.
Mark, what's your old man?
I drive a Ford LTD.
Jeremy, what's your old man?
Well, I like to talk to people about things, and it's basically my mother, only if
yeah,
I wanted
your
to...
woman.
And then my mother is the same thing.
When you
it's
do
just
that guy, we're never sure if it's a man or a woman.
Yeah, and it's where the fun begins.
The phrase on our podcast that's come up the most is, I'm a woman, because in our heads, we're playing characters that are so clearly feminine.
Yeah.
But we'll be like, could you hand me those flowers?
Yes, sir.
I'm a woman. And it's just...
Always
every episode. I mean, look at my figure.
Well, and the other part about it is, again, it's like we're riffing, like we're improvising all of it, so there's no... there's ways to indicate it, but often it's just we start and we don't even think about it.
Yeah,
but Matt is editing it and he leaves in "I'm a woman."
But because now it's a thing.
Yeah,
but I think it first started out when somebody was doing it, clearly a man's voice, and as a joke.
I think
it
you're
was,
the first
I'm a woman.
One.
It might have been me.
Yeah.
I'm a woman.
What's your old man voice?
This guy, just put it over there and don't let's not talk about it again.
Well, that's a good old man.
Yeah, it is.
That's
great.
That's got some teeth.
I love it. Yeah,
it does.
Because he daughters.
He's daughtering.
Yeah,
that guy sounds like someone in a Twilight Zone episode. Like that.
I take that as a huge compliment.
It's huge.
Oh yeah.
I started watching the Twilight Zone's on Netflix, and I started watching. From the first season, there were like 4 episodes I had never seen.
Yeah,
before. I did the same thing,
and I thought I had seen.
I feel like there
every
always
Twilight
will be.
Zone episode.
Every time you revisit, there will always be 4 new ones. Yeah,
I think it's like, which is meta Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
but I think it's sort of like Python sketches where you think you've seen them all, but there's actually like
there's some ones that maybe aren't. On the top of the pile.
I watched season 4, I think. There's the one where the kids' parents are divorcing, so they jump into their pool. They find this little secret door in the pool and pop up in like a Huck Finn fairyland. Have you ever seen it?
Mm-hmm.
So,
are you sure this isn't a dream?
Oh, yeah, this is
one.
On there.
I remember this one.
The girl is, what's her name, that plays Scout in To Kill a Mockingbird. But then halfway through, inexplicably, her voice gets dubbed by June Foray, Rocky the Squirrel.
What?
And like they must have messed up the audio or something. So it's her voice in the first act, and then the second act, like it's not part of the plot. She just has a woman ADRing her voice. It's so strange.
Rod, why didn't we just get the young actress to come back in?
God damn it.
I know.
That's crazy.
And that's the one I remember the most. Wow.
I do remember that episode, but I don't know if I remember. And June Foray's voice is so recognizable whenever you hear it.
But I and didn't, it is. I mean, she's basically doing Rocky, the squirrel.
I feel like they would hire her to do that as an insult to the actor. That she was
so bad.
We want to make it obvious. You blew it on this.
I've invited all my friends over to watch because there's only three channels of television, and it's very important.
That happened they should have got Orson Welles to do her voice.
Do you know Paul Greenberg?
Yeah, of course.
Paul Greenberg is an actor friend of ours. So funny. And he had like a couple lines in the movie, As Good As It Gets, where he's a waiter and he is serving something to Helen Hunt, and he goes and sees the movie.
No.
And they've dubbed his voice, like straight out of Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
Where he goes to see the movie, and then there's he is handing something to Helen Hunt, and he hears his voice go, "Ma'am," like a super deep voice. It's like, what?
No one ever get a reason?
No, I think it was, they told him it was just like the audio was bad or something, but.
The audio was bad. I mean, the audio of your voice.
Yeah.
The innate mics were fine.
The tone of your voice.
There's such a small amount of dialogue. There's like, we're not going to call him in to do it, but still.
It was probably just, the editor just went, "Ma'am, oh, we got it." Yeah. I didn't even bother bringing it back in.
With morning coffee voice.
We're going to have to pay this guy $800 to come back in and record it.
I'll do it. Ma'am. I'm a woman.
Did you guys worked with Channel 101 from the beginning?
Yeah, even before it was Channel 101.
Yeah, it was just midnight movie.
That's where, I saw you guys, Matt and Jeremy, in Channel 101 stuff years before I met you.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Years and years before I met you. Yeah.
Oh my God! Did you have to host the videos yourself back then?
No. You would send them in by mail to Dan
by
or
mail.
Rob to their address, or
Dan
just
Harmon,
drop
Rob
it off.
Rob.
Yeah, and then they would upload it to their servers. But everything back then was like that old silver bar QuickTime that would take forever to load. And,
yeah.
That was crazy. And I remember because they were so strict with the 5-minute rule, the first movie I made was called Buckle Up.
Yeah.
And it was 5 minutes and 4 seconds. And so I knew I had to speed it up, so I sped up all of Jeremy's parts. He played the villain, this country guy. So his character kind of went to this guy that talked like this. And it became this like accidentally brilliant thing. And it got us under five, and we got it.
I used to love the when they were doing it at was it CineSpace?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. That just those monthly parties and viewings and those were really fun.
Yeah,
and YouTube really just kind of sucked the wind out of all that stuff.
You know, it's responsible for Super Ego because the show that we did that had its run was called Ultra Force based on that Mega Force movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we set ourselves up for such heavy production value.
It was intense.
And we
it was set in the post-apocalyptic future, but it was from the vantage point of the early 1980s. So it's we were making these in 2003, but it was 1999.
Mm-hmm. On the eve of the cosmillennium.
Yeah. And so, I still think that could become a series. The Colonel is there. It's such a funny idea.
But we
got
so tired of it that we killed the characters and self-canceled. And then we like took a year where we're just like, we don't want to do anything. And then when podcasting came around in 2006, that's when I was like, this would be perfect for us. No. All the production value is there, but it's like in the mind, and we can just talk into mics, you know.
Yeah, we'd both been thinking about it. My girlfriend at the time was like, "You guys should do a video podcast." And we were like, "We don't want to do anything video. We want to sit down. We want to just record stuff." And the idea was that thing where I think everybody's done this, where you have a tape recorder as a kid, and you're like, "Let's do funny voices."
Yep.
And that's what it was.
Yeah.
But what's so hilarious to me, and this is something. What's so hilarious to me is that it then became a very work-intensive thing. Like, the whole idea was, this is supposed to be just simple fun,
but that's
screwing
me.
Around.
Yeah.
But that's I think we share an affinity for that, of, like, going in thinking, this will just be fun, get people together, have a good time.
You don't have to learn lines, you just got to come in and fuck around.
Yeah. And then it becomes, like,
then it's June,
like super involved.
Then it's June 29th, and you're like, we need 2 sketches. In 48 hours,
but part
fully
of it
produced
was
and made, because we set our own standard for
that's
it.
That's right. Part of it came out of Channel 101, too, because there was a really funny cardboard aesthetic that like Rob Schraub and Dan Harmon did so well, but then it became this thing where I think people were kind of copying that and like took a pride in, we're not going to try, and if we don't try, we don't have to mm-hmm. fail. And so we always at some point would just go, let's go big or go home.
Well, yeah, because there definitely is the.
Are you talking about the boo?
Oh, the boo!
The boo! Yeah. Oh my god! The boo!
Is all that stuff must be up somewhere?
It's still there.
It's still on there. Channel 101.
That era we were in, it was the boo time belt.
Time belt is yeah. so good. Chris Tallman is so funny in that.
Yeah, computer man, right?
Computer man. Yeah. That was Harmon's. Yeah.
Laser fart.
Yeah.
Ringwald and Molly.
I played.
If you were doing a sketch of fake sitcoms,
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's how Laser Fart came about. He was joking. I played a villain in that called Robot Dick, who was like Dr. Octopus but with a dick. Not my current girlfriend, but
eight
my girlfriend.
Dicks or just one.
Just
dick?
The one.
Okay.
My girlfriend before that. The first time I met her parents, they were very religious and they had Googled me, and that was all they knew about me was Robot Dick. It didn't last.
Did you see that documentary about me, Robots?
I'm going to treat your daughter real good.
What was Samurai? What was Sammy Primero's
Fastest Samurai in the West?
Yeah. That was fun too.
Did you ever do any of those?
No, I never did any of those. I was 2003 was the year that I quit drinking, and so that was a year that I really was just trying to not be drunk every night. That's when I wrote Shut In. I never finished it though because I bailed. I'm afraid of success, I guess, so I quit drinking. But so I wasn't really. I was just kind of getting my life back together, and by the time I really felt like, okay, you know, it was almost YouTube time, and right. I mean, I know Channel 101 still thrived,
yeah,
but. I never. I back in those days, I was a guy with a lot of big ideas.
Yeah,
and then I'd get bored and be like, "Well, that one's dumb," or I'd start doing something. Oh, I gotta go start this other one. You know.
Yeah.
I really had to learn how to. No, you have to carry things out,
I know,
and the maintenance process isn't always fun.
Yeah.
But that's what you sign up for when you commit to something. You know, like I had to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
Because it used to just be fun to sit around and get drunk and be like, and then, well, we could break into the zoo one night when it's not open, and we'll have animals in the background. You know, it was just like a lot of really stupid ideas like that that I were never in danger of being executed in any way. But that Channel 101 process was such an amazing class, basically, and just make it fast. It has to be this, and do it quickly, and don't overthink it, and get it done.
Yeah, it was great. It was the elegant idea, but so kind of original. Even
it was just very fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And even before it was at Cinespace, it was at Toy on Vine.
That's right.
And they would sell out two or three.
Yeah, I used to go
showings
to those.
A night.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, but that's not Toy. That's not there anymore, right? That was right in the production group.
It's not there anymore.
No,
I think there were stand-up shows there. It feels like. Maybe there are, and I'm just not seeing them. But I feel like there was a time between, like, 98 and maybe, like, 07, where there were a bunch of really cool, like, just weird alternative shows.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that still exists, and I just don't have the time and energy.
I think it does, yeah. But I think that the age range of the people is probably still the same as it was then.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Well, but it's people that are... It's a mixture of people that are on their way up and veterans dropping in to do stuff. But yeah, it is like if you got other stuff going on, it is tough to make the time to do like a set like that, like a drop-in kind of thing. Some people, man, there are some stand-ups that absolutely make the time. Like they have to get on stage in that way and... I guess I'm just not that guy where it's like, I got to get my 10 minutes in tonight. You know, it's like, I'm okay to just watch. So you think you can dance with my wife?
I'm with you.
I have precious little free time. And maybe I don't want to be in some dark room like telling that story again.
Yeah, you got to find parking. You got to go in there. What number? Okay, I'm third. Okay, I'll go up there. Yeah. I didn't really write anything new.
I don't want to be the can you put me on first guy.
Right.
Can you put me on first so I can get out of here?
I need to get out of here. Can you just bump your list? When do you want to go up? Can I just go up now? The show hasn't started yet. I know, but I want to get home before 8.
Could you open the show with all you just missed him?
Yeah.
He was great.
I just paid $10 for parking. I know this doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to go. I'm just going to go. I think I just talked about this in the podcast the other day, the last podcast that went up, but I've been having real trouble doing 10-minute sets.
It's hard.
Real trouble, because I'm so used to doing an hour that I haven't been able to... Like, I'm not used to writing in the 6 to 10 minute format anymore.
Yeah, I bet you got to cut to the quick pretty...
Where everything's really, like, you know... So it's just these long stories that I can't figure out how to, like... how do I just lift out the nugget to make it...
Well, it's also because things feel connected. And it's hard to envision it removed from the rest of everything else. You know what I mean? To say, like, I'm going to do a 10-minute part of this thing that I feel is a larger part... You know, is a much longer piece that all fits together.
Right.
And it's sort of like, will this even make sense to people?
Yeah.
If I just do this part of it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's tough to shrink it down. And it's also because, like, you get used to going on stage and, like, you know, kind of warming the crowd up a little bit.
They get to know you.
Once
they get to know you and you've set up those rules, then you can kind of start... talking with this idea that they have already.
And that itself takes 10 minutes.
It takes 10 minutes to do that.
Yeah.
Some comics are really good at just like one line establishing who they are at the top of this. And I'm not one of those people. I hope they have any idea who I am, because it's a lot easier in 10 minutes, you know. And if they don't, it's just like, nope.
Yeah.
All right.
Those 10-minute slots we've done on sort of stand-up shows or variety shows or whatever have been tough for us too, for that same reason. It's like, we come out where we've done a sketch where it's like, oh, it's a radio call in, like Heartlines, that love dedication thing. And it's like, it's funny, but like from the gate, there's nothing that establishes this is what this is. And by the time it's over, they sort of go like, oh, yeah.
Do more. I can't.
Right. And then, but in those hour long shows.
You were just about great.
Yeah.
I think the difference is, it's the difference between if you were to do a written sketch, like we're going to do this thing and that's going to fit into someone else's larger show, as opposed to an improv thing, which that's its own evening, you know, like we're going to improvise this, because when it's put plugged into, you know, like the super serious show or something, you know, where it's like, here's a night of a bunch of different acts are going to do things. And then towards the end, like we'll throw in these improv guys, and they're going to improvise things. Doesn't involve you guys at all, the audience. They're not going to ask for a suggestion.
They're
just going to make stuff up. You're going to have to take them at their word that they're making it up. You know, it just feels weird.
Well, an audience just needs context for something.
Yeah.
They can't, and throwing them a curveball is really hard in 10 minutes, because they just... you kind of got to re-steer. And if you can, you know, sometimes there are ways to do that, but other times their brain's over here and you're here, and then you're trying to, you're reaching.
Yeah.
And then the tips of your finger, and then it's over.
You're hoping for what's happening and not what just happened.
I mean, it's funny. I would go on the road and have amazing sets and feel really good about where I was headed. And then I'd come back and do like, you know, 10 minutes at an art loft downtown and like not have a great set and be like, what am I doing with my, you know, and just kind of, and really you, and use that as the, oh, I don't think I'm, you know, when really, you know, maybe not having a great set for an art loft full of hipsters without any context isn't a clear indication of,
you know, or necessarily a horrible thing.
Right. <You know>. Right.
You may be a barometer that you're doing pretty well.
but it all goes back to this idea of years ago, Paul and I had this conversation because I heard someone say, you know, like, you should be able to go into any room and destroy. Oh. And Paul was like, no, you shouldn't. You know,
it's insane. And it's crazy. Yeah.
Who is that? The general chasing the A-team? Like that? Colonel Decker or whatever his name is. Like, what kind of military absolutism is that?
I'm going to tell you right now.
Well, there's a certain school of comedy that's very aggressive, and it's all about it's all about competition in a way, and it sort of sees it as comedian versus audience,
right,
you know,
right.
And that you have to dominate them, you have to win, and the more you do that, the better of a comedian you are, because then you have something against you have something over other comedians. Like, I can go into any room and destroy with my material. And it's like, you know, I think it was Chris Rock that said, it doesn't matter. You can't ever blame the audience if they're too stupid, too drunk, whatever. It's like, those are things you can blame on an audience. Absolutely.
Well, because I always...
Especially if people are too drunk. Like, yeah.
Well, I've been saying, you know, like when... sometimes I'll talk to the audience before and at midnight taping, and I'll just say, look, you know, the comedian does most of the work, but you have like a 10% response. If you want to enjoy the show, you just have to kind of... pay attention and come together a little bit. Because it's a relationship.
Sure.
It's not a lecture.
Absolutely.
And so you just have to come to here so that we can meet you. And so don't come in and cross your arms and go, you better be funny. It's like, no, you as an audience, you have to fucking make us funny by just kind of just allowing, opening your mind to the possibility that you're going to pay attention and that you might enjoy it.
Yeah. As in life, the idea is that we both come together to the situation assuming the best of each other.
Correct, yeah. And we'll do like 90% of the work, but just like a little bit of, you know, don't cross your arms and be like, you know. Like really just be open to the idea that it could be funny or that you might have a good time, you know.
Yeah.
Come in smiling.
Yeah. But it's sort of, you know, those late shows on Friday night sometimes are sort of hard because people have worked all day. They start drinking at like 5, and then you know they
really should have gone home.
Yeah,
because they've gone out somewhere first, and they probably had dinner and a bunch of drinks, and it's like, that's enough. Like, you guys all had a great time.
Yeah,
go home
and watch. You know? So you think you can dance with your wife?
Not with my wife.
No, with your wife.
Don't watch shows with my wife. You drunks.
Hey, Janie.
Hey, I'm a woman.
Where's the remote? I'm also a woman in this. Realize.
I think it's safe to assume we're all women. All of us.
I'm a woman. I am.
You know, we start as women in the womb.
I am.
It's true.
I came out playing tiddlywinks.
Tiddlywinks?
Wow. How horrifying would it be if, or do you think this would be good or bad? Okay, so you just said we all start off as female in the womb. What if you die a woman, right? So what if the indicator that you're about to die is your dick falls off?
And that's then when you know it's happening.
Your dick falls off and you're like, oh shit! And then,
does that reveal that there was a vagina underneath? Or is it just the absence of a dick makes you a woman?
Oh, man. Oh, I'm not a doctor. I don't know.
I do apologize.
No, guys, let's figure this out. Okay. Let's take as much time as it takes.
What is a woman?
And how do you talk to a lady?
Well, I'm right here. Just start talking.
Carol Channing.
I don't remember eating corn.
It's the weirdest production of My Fair Lady I've ever seen.
It rained, baby.
Hey, Wally is loving it.
He loves those old class haters.
He is enjoying the shit out of this right now.
His best friend is a bug. Why are we putting so much, giving him so much credit?
I don't know.
Because he's the he's what's left.
What?
What's left, man?
He took part in the social contract. They're the last two. They came together assuming the best of each other.
There you go.
You know what? You're right. I'm a woman.
And the Lord said, let me feel you where you part ways.
Wait, were you being the Lord or were you being a reverend?
It's a complicated... See, here's the thing about it. Is when you're a reverend, you are compromised by the Lord.
Oh, compromised?
Homeless Dan.
Your system has been compromised by the Lord.
He comes into you in the form of a heaving ghost.
Is he dry heaving or is heaving in you?
It can be both depending on the message of God.
Are you facing each other or?
Sometimes you're just spooning.
Spooning with God sounds like a bad self-help book.
Yeah.
Spooning with God sounds
Mitch
like
album.
A grunge band.
Yeah.
Spooning with God!
My Mitch album.
Man, you guys,
I'm so excited for the return of Super Ego.
Me too. I am too, as a fan.
Yeah. And a member.
Not just a client, but as a fan.
Oh, yeah. God, you guys, we're going to do it.
And you're still doing Varietopia.
Yes. live and monthly at Largo. Next show is going to be, I'm very, very excited about it. I'm not releasing the names of the guests anymore. This is just a crazy show that you should come see. And you should trust me that it's going to be good.
I don't know. I mean, not one name. Yeah. Sometimes you're like when you'll do, like when we do podcasts on the road and people go, well, I'm thinking about buying a ticket. Who's the guest? And we're like,
oh,
well,
God.
We'll be there. You like to listen to us, yeah. Right?
No, you're merely a vessel to give me what I want. You're a conduit.
Oh, God. I edit you out with Audacity most of the time.
I just listen to the guests. That, it recognizes Audacity. Your voice and takes it out. It's like, you know, those old things where they swap the sound channel and you could karaoke. It was a great thing. Remember anyone? No. Hello.
I remember.
Thank you. You know, I was a program engineer back in the 1920s.
Is that so, sir?
Oh, I am a man. Well, hold on. Who was once a woman.
Hey! You're probably going to die
in
soon.
The womb.
Oh. My vagina just fell on.
It fell on?
Yeah.
My vagina fell on. I live in an anti-gravity room.
Pass me the cheeseburger. An antique gravity room?
Yep, it's an old gravity
room. Yeah.
Also just called a room.
How much do you
think? They had gravity in the old days, too.
Do you think I could get $1,600 for this antique gravity room? I found it when my grandmother passed.
It's exquisite workmanship. Of course, it's very lovely, but as you can see here, it's entirely counterfeit gravity room. It's made by the Hondurans.
Can I just leave it with you? Because I don't want to take this home if it's never going to gain value.
What a sour old lady.
What's your name, ma'am?
Clisty Marafano. My father was Italian, and my father, he was Greek.
Wait, you have two fathers?
Don't you be an asshole.
Where did you find this old gravity room?
It was underneath a spare dresser in the spaceship that my granddad took to. He took it to the Philippines, and he.
It's not space.
Bought a property there and discovered nudity, and brought it back to the United States, and now we have pilgrims every Thanksgiving.
If you're looking for an explanation, I can tell you there is none.
There's not an explanation.
So September 1st.
Yeah.
September 1st.
Yeah. And also...
if we live that long.
I'm working on a Shunt McGuffin album. We did a Journeyman album, which was...
Why'd your voice get so deep right now?
Because I'm in the resident room.
Journeyman.
I think the old woman voice kicked it into low.
Yeah, we're huge outlaw country fans.
Yeah.
And we decided to make a full-length record as our alter egos, the Journeymen.
I believe you guys played at something at Meltdown, but I can't remember what the event was. Maybe like a year and a half ago.
That might have been my band. I have a bluegrass band too.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
UBCs.
Yeah, Dust Bowl Cavaliers. Fantastic. Thank you. Yeah. I was for a book signing, I think. I don't remember. Spooning with God. Mitch album was there.
Spooning with God. Heading out. Spooning, getting God. Spooning with God. Eating them up with a spoon.
Did you say Mitch album?
Yeah.
No, Paul said that ages ago.
Paul said it earlier.
I said that. God damn it, Jeremy.
Look, I am a stupid idiot.
He was in character, so you can't blame him. He wasn't absorbing any information as Jeremy.
Tell that character to clean out her ears.
Well, I'll clean out my ears.
Man, please, we're trying to talk to Jeremy.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me just sit over here. Go ahead.
No, but we made this record, and then Jeremy was like, I'm making another one.
Yeah, I was like, I want to do it again. It was a blast. So, and the boys have all agreed to come in and do stuff.
What?
So it's basically just a non-stop. You're just constantly cranking out as much material as possible at all times.
So. Yeah, we took a break for a while.
Yeah,
but it's good to be back.
It's against our will too. It's
what?
Well, because
we're being forced to make this.
I too sit on the couch and watch. So You Think You Might Be Able to Possibly Dance with my girlfriend,
right?
And I love it.
It's but oh, and I'm like,
by I just want to be at home. I like that show is it's not, you're not watching with the girlfriend. Yeah, the show, yeah. So you think you might possibly be able to dance with my girlfriend. You think well, you can? Try it.
Here's a 12 gauge.
She's terrible.
Go ahead. See if you can get past these guns.
No, I like being at home, and I have a son, and I like hanging out with him and swimming and riding bikes. But there's just some stuff where it's like, I want to go do that. You know, you can't stop yourself.
Superego. Do you have superego.com?
GoSuperego.com.
GoSuperego.com. Yeah,
yeah. Who has superego.com?
Some fucking doctor, probably.
It is. An,
it's also
I want to say
word
it's like
in
a,
Portuguese. And it's like.
What?
Yeah,
honest to God, I think it's like an auto parts.
Fuck cars.
Company. I think. Why? I'm going to it right now.
What's superego.com, Katie?
Five,
Katie's opening up right now.
Four, three, two.
Stop playing video
one.
Poker for 2 seconds.
She would play video poker.
Just oh, it's in a...
Close some tabs!
What if it's a really Spanish. Funny podcast?
It's, is it a Portuguese?
It's a Portuguese auto supply store.
It's either Portuguese or Spanish,
because
I can read some of it.
Superego.
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, no, it has it in English, too.
Translate this page.
What is it?
It's the largest European manufacturer of tools for tube.
What?
Tools the for tube?
Oh, for the tube, for subways.
Oh, for the tube.
Yeah, you should have liquid U'd that. Cube.
So it's probably pronounced Supergo because of the European spelling. Yeah. They spell super with an E on the end.
She said they wrote it out, Paul.
They wrote it out.
Oh.
But if you do need a giant wrench for something, yeah, get it from them.
If you're building a subway from your garage to your bathroom,
which you should do,
just take a subway. And you're gonna walk to the garage. I'm gonna take the tube.
What?
Not giant. Oh, a hacksaw.
But it's
very important in subway construction.
That's yeah. like that's Mike Ehrmantraut's kit.
Good reference.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah. Busting out.
It really did look like reference. You know he's got like yeah. Well, you go to the website and you look at it and decide for yourself. Yeah.
So go superego.com and then September 1st.
Yeah, and Superego on iTunes. You can subscribe there.
Please
and then
subscribe
check out
there.
Those Nerdist animations because the
they're so good.
Oh, they look amazing. They're so yeah. good. And then it's also fun to when you see if you see the animations first, it's also fun to hear
yeah.
the audio sketches as well and vice versa.
And some of those characters recur. I think we've done several Geigers. We've done a few Family Feuds. We've done
Who did Giger? Was that you?
It's Matt. Me. Yeah.
Mark Miller, who produced these, told me this story. I don't. Let's end on this. It's going to be great.
Okay. All
right. So he works for Clive Barker's production empire. He's basically his main man, and he was hanging out with this director who had stayed at H.R. Giger's home in Switzerland, and Giger was touring him through the house, showing him his paintings, and they stopped at one, and this guy, I can't remember his name, but he goes, oh, H., this painting has a bunch of holes in it, and he goes, yeah, that's where my girlfriend killed herself. And he had to sleep in that house, and apparently that's a true story. I know she did kill herself, but I had no idea it was in front of a painting with a shotgun.
And that it took several shots to kill herself?
Or a shotgun, or the fact that he cleaned it, but the holes remained. And so when I say, like, that too soon for this guy, there's no such thing. I mean, he was obsessed with death. And there's no impression I could ever do of him that's as weird as he actually is. So he's worth YouTubing in his own right, you know.
Was, Matthew. Was.
Thanks, Adam West.
My pleasure. I'm Adam West God.
God is Adam West?
We've got South God and West God.
What if God was Adam West?
What if God
was Adam West?
I didn't want to sing it. I knew
just
you guys were doing it.
Just a slob like Adam West.
Just a gigolo in a vest.
Maybe now that I'm... is homeless Dan.
You're damn right. Hey, Scott, let's go play fetch.
Fetch?
Is that like
it's where I take a ball of lard, which is fat, and I throw it for him, and he catches it.
I thought it was like an off-brand dog game.
Off-brand
99-cent store fetch.
It's okay. So like Happy Birthday, fetch is patent. If someone owns the rights
that's
to
right.
it.
That's like when we were kids, we'd go out and play tog.
I got mine at IKEA.
You want to come over for some Condi Lond?
Or some Buse Ball?
Gordon Sirk. I just made it Swedish.
Enjoy your burrito. We all won.
Yeah.
We did.
Whee!
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Carbonite.com. Carbonite is online backup made easy. Plans start at just $59.99 a year. Start your free trial today at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist to get 2 bonus months with purchase.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.